Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you here this morning. We begin a new series, a four-part series this morning entitled Love by the Beloved. Our primary text for this series is going to be Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And let me read God's word for us this morning. Hear now the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. That finishes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now this morning we're going to consider what it means to be loved by the beloved. Next week we're going to consider that we are blessed by the beloved. And then we are chosen by the beloved. And then lastly we will consider that we are adopted by the beloved. Now, I can say that I have always been loved. I've always felt love. I can say that I've never experienced a day in my life where I didn't feel loved. Now, I grew up in a family where I knew that my mother loved me, my father loved me, my brother loved me. He loved me more when I wasn't picking on him, but he loved me anyway. I'm not saying that our family was overly affectionate, but there's always this sense of love. I knew my grandmother loved me. I knew my papaw loved me. I knew that my aunts and uncles loved me. And can you believe it? Even my cousins loved me. And I loved them back. But if you take all this love and gather it together, it will only be one raindrop in the ocean compared to the love that God has for me and for you. That's really the point. Now, our main text begins in verse 3. Saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the text ends in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. So I'd like to put these two verses together as bookends, if you would, so that we might discover this morning what it means to be loved by the beloved. Our text is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. First, I want you to see that all that we have received from God is because of the deep and divine love affair between God the Father and his beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that our Father calls our Lord Jesus his beloved. We see it at his baptism and again at his transfiguration that a voice came out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus' earthly ministry was a fulfillment to show us that the Father's beloved, the Lord Jesus, the Father's beloved is the one for whom he delights. So I'd ask you, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my beloved in whom I am well pleased? None. And I'd ask you again, which of you or I has he ever said, you are my beloved in whom I am pleased? None. Because Christ and Christ alone is the pinnacle of the Father's delight. Only the Son pleases the Father. Only the Son brings pleasure to the Father. Only Jesus Christ did the Father say, "You are my beloved, my beloved Son." Now, Jesus tells us about this divine love affair between himself and the Father in the Gospel of John, where he explains to us that this love between God the Father and God the Son existed before time, before the foundation of the world. Jesus goes on to explain that this love between the Father and the Son, it lacks any form of selfishness, to the point that the Father is willing to give the Son all things. He holds nothing back. Jesus tells us that this love between the Father and the Son, it's so strong that it creates a transparency and a unity between them so that nothing is hidden from the other. Jesus goes on in the Gospel of John to explain to us that this love between God the Father and God the Son is so intimate that it is void of any vain conceit, so that the Son, even though he existed in the form of God, could humble himself, become a bondservant, and lay down his life. This divine love affair between God the Father and God the Son, it goes beyond anything we have ever experienced. It is so eternal. It is so selfless. It is so strong. It is so unified. It is so intimate that the only way the Father could explain it to us is by calling his Son, "My beloved. My beloved." Now, this term, beloved, actually comes from the Greek word agape. Now, unlike the English language, which only has one word for love, the Greek language has several words, for which four of which are used in the Greek New Testament. Four different words. One is eros love, which is sexual or romantic love. The other type of love is a love that you would have for an object or for a thing. Like you would say, "I really love my dog," or "I really love football." And of course, when we'd say things like that in our adolescence, one of our friends would say, "Well, if you love it so much, why don't you marry it then?" I don't marry it because I'm not talking about that kind of love. We have phileo love, which is brotherly love, and agape love, which is divine love, God's love. Now, agape love is not a sappy or sentimental feeling. God's love is not fake or fickle. God's love is not puppy love. You see, agape love stems from who God is. Agape love comes from his nature. God is love. So we see that this love between God the Father and God the Son, it is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, because that's who God is. We see that this love between God the Father and God the Son, it's endless, it's everlasting, it's forever constant, because that's who God is. But this term beloved is not only used by the Father to describe this divine love between himself and his Son, but it's also affectionately used to describe those who have experienced God's agape love through Christ. We are beloved. And if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, I want you to hear me. You are beloved in Christ. That's your identity. That's who you are. You are beloved. It's crazy, right? Crazy that God would talk about me like that. It's even more crazy that he talk about you like that. Scripture that I'll read in just a few moments from now, but it's like the apostle is just like, behold, what manner of love that we would be called the beloved. It's like he's like, this is out of my mind. This is out of the world. This is beyond my comprehension. And that's exactly where God wants to take you. I hope that's where he takes you today. It's just like the Lord spoke to the prophet Hosea, those who were not beloved, I will call my beloved. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation, an atonement, a covering, the absolute forgiveness of our sins. Now, we just passed Valentine's Day, and I know all you guys, you did a great job in telling your lover how much you love him, showing love and affection. I know you guys, how great of a job. And you ladies, I can only imagine how well of a job you did this past Valentine's Day, telling your lover how much you love him. And I hear you guys talk. I hear it where you say, oh, hey, you have these terms of endearment. Hey, sweetie. Hey, sweetie pie. Hey, honey. Hey, honey bun. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to use those terms of endearment. I'm not going to use my terms of endearment on any of y'all. Oh, there's only one person. That's my wife, Barbara. She gets to hear my terms of endearment, and they sound as kind of strange and funny as what the ones I just shared with you right now. I mean, let's face it, we all grew up with this fear that our mother was going to come to some performance at school or some athletic event at school, and she would sit up in the fans and say, I love you, sweet pea, I love you. I mean, it's okay if mom calls me sweet pea at home, but I don't want her doing it in the high school bleachers. The fact is, though, the Father has a term of endearment for you. You are beloved. Brothers and sisters, both the Old and New Testaments use this term, beloved, to identify the love that God has for his people. We are the beloved of God. The New Testament uses it over 40 times to identify those who are in Christ, that they are beloved. They are the beloved. Behold, what manner of love, as I shared before, the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the beloved. But what I want you to see this morning is that just as the Father's love for his Son is endless, everlasting, and forever constant, so God's love for us in Christ is endless, everlasting, and forever constant. Because we are the beloved. God's love for us in Christ is exactly the same love that he has for his son. And that's the reason why he uses the same word for his son as he does for us. Because the exact same love that the father has for the son and the son has for the father is the same exact love that they have lavished upon us. We are the beloved. God's love for us in Christ is so strong, so intimate, and so relentless in its pursuit of us. The Bible tells us that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is crazy talk. That's majestic. Brothers and sisters, the love between the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ is foundational to everything we receive from God. And if you don't get that, if you don't understand that the love between God the Father and God the Son is foundational in everything we receive, then everything you read in the Scriptures can become skewed and misguided. You can start attributing things to yourself and to situations and circumstances instead of attributing it to one single thing: the love of God. What we'll see in the weeks to come is foundational to our spiritual blessings that we receive. It's foundational for our forgiveness that we might be chosen. It's foundational in our eternal inheritance that we might be adopted. The infinite, eternal, and unchangeable love between the Father and His Son is the heartbeat of why we are the beloved. We are the beloved because of God's love for us, not because of our love for God. Now, the Word of God is telling us this morning that the Father freely bestows on us the same love that He has for His Son. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Here it is, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable love that the Father has for the Son, and the infinite, eternal, unchangeable love that the Son has to the Father is freely bestowed on us. If you can imagine like an upside down triangle, I asked the first two services if there's an official term for an upside triangle, and no one came up with one, so it must be called a upside down triangle, all right? So if you just take the upside down triangle, and you have the Father and the Son on the top, and this love affair between them is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. It's beyond any sort of thing we've ever experienced. And it's freely bestowed on us. It's freely bestowed upon us. Notice it's freely bestowed. It's freely bestowed because it's not contingent upon anything but God Himself. Because God is love. It's free of all human conditions. It's free from all earthly contingencies. The Father freely bestows upon us the same love that He has for His Son. Now, Jesus tells us, He gives us some glints of this bestowing love in His prayers in the Gospel of John. We see in John chapter 17, Jesus prays that the Father would love us, quote, even as you have loved me. Jesus is praying that the Father would love us, quote, even as you have loved me. And again in John 17, Jesus prays, quote, that the love with which you love me may be in them. And in John 14, He prays that the Father who loves me, that those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Notice it's the upside down triangle that Jesus is talking about. Why? Because we are the beloved. It's the same exact love that the Father has for the Son has for the Father. It's ours. Praise be to his holy name. He freely bestows it upon us. And this term bestows means to pursue with grace. It means to encompass with favor. You see, the love of God is relentless in its pursuit of us, but it's never violent. Rather, the love of God is charming, loving, and agreeable. The Lord speaks to our hearts, and he calls us unto himself. Now, many of you have heard the story of how Barbara and I met as freshmen in college. And we were in the same freshman English class together. Now, the freshman English class had well over 100 students in it because they had to make sure that we actually knew English because they knew that we were high school graduates. So, I saw this girl walk in. Now, in this class, because there were so many students, there was actually, you had to sit in assigned seats, and there was an attendance roll that went down each one of the aisles. And so I counted how many seats it was to where she was. And then when I got the attendance sheet, I counted. I wasn't good in English, but I was pretty good in math. And I counted. Barbara East. I knew her name. And then what I did is I began to investigate her patterns, her journeys on the campus. And then I would purposely position myself in her path. And as she would pass, I would say, "Hello, Barbara." Now, some of you might call that stalking. No, it was pursuit in grace. I want her to see how charming, how lovely, how agreeable I was to get to know her. Now, I have to say, at first, Barbara really thought it was weird. But over time, she started to recognize that I was harmless, and she would stop to talk. And then eventually, we got to spend more time together. And then eventually, 11 months later, we walked down the aisle. After a lot of convincing, right? The point of me telling you that story is that God is relentless in his pursuit of you. He knows your name. He knows where you've been, where you're going, and he purposely puts himself in your path. And he calls your name. And at first you think it's kind of weird. But then after time, you can see that really he's charming, he's lovely, he's agreeable, he really wants the best for me. And so you begin to build a relationship with him to the point you become one together in Christ. That is God's love. That's the way he works. He freely bestows on us the love of the beloved. Brothers and sisters, this morning I've attempted to make 3 points. First, God the Father and God the Son enjoy a deep and divine love affair that is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Secondly, is that this love between the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation for everything we receive from God. It's because he loves us. Therefore, we are the beloved. Can we say it together? I am beloved. Can we say it? I am beloved. Say it. I am beloved. I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. This is the gospel, that God would love us so much to share with us the love that he has for his son, that we would even have a glimpse of comprehension of what that means. That's the reason why Paul actually prays later on in the book of Ephesians, where we're taking our text from, he prays that we would be rooted and grounded in love. That we would understand that it's because of God's love for us. It's because of God's love. He says, I pray that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. It's not because of my efforts or my skills or my success. It's because of his love. And then he goes on to say, I pray that you're able to comprehend what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That is so crazy, man. First of all, he's praying that we know, you know, the full dimensions of God's love and in Christ. And then he says, listen, it's going to surpass your understanding. Here's the deal. Is God wants you to experience something that you'll never fully comprehend? Because it's eternal, it's God. But he wants you to share, get it. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to experience it. He wants you to have the fullness of him in you. Some of you here today might be wondering, you know, how can I know for sure that God loves me? As I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, there's never been a time in my life where I've always known that I was loved. But I know that that's not true for some people. Some people really have difficulties in receiving and giving the love of God. You know, our two adopted boys, they had extreme difficulty to accept and express love. Those two boys have been abused by their parents, so that by the time they came to live with us, they had extreme difficulty in accepting love. And they had no comprehension on how to express it. These boys didn't know how to hug. I mean, seriously. They didn't know how to hug. And once you tried to hug them, they would get really stiff. And expressions of love, you know, us saying, we love you, we love you. They like look at us like, really? You know, these boys were abused. They'd been damaged. And that had caused them extreme difficulty in accepting and expressing love. But as Barbara and I just continually and slowly showed them love, told them we loved them, over a period of time, it took time, but eventually they were able to receive love and they were able to express love. And I tell you that story is because that's how we are often with God. We're abused. We're damaged. And we think, how in the world can God love us? How can God love me? But here's the good news. God continues to love you and to pursue you and to show you and to tell you his love. He's been telling you his love for the last 25 minutes as you've been sitting in this place. Don't you get it? And he's been telling you about his love even before that. Or do you know the scripture? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe upon him would not perish but have everlasting life. Don't you see where the heart of that salvation comes from? The love of God. The scripture tells us that God has demonstrated his what? Love for us. That while we were yet sinners, rebellious, Christ died for us. Don't you see that Christ's sacrifice was the basis of Christ's sacrifice is from what? The love of God. You are loved by the beloved. You must believe it in your heart, but you also should confess it with your mouth. And today, if God is calling your name, I pray that you can embrace God, give him a big hug, and that you'd be able to kiss the cheek of God and tell him that you love him. And if God does work in your heart today, I'm going to ask you at the end of the service to come forward and to confess. Talk to the elders and tell them, you know what, today I kiss the face of God. Well, it's clear, isn't it? I told you, there's one thing I want you to know in this sermon today, that you are the beloved. Let's say it one more time. I am beloved. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the love affair between you and the Son, and we thank you for the kindness of your grace that would dispense and lavish that love upon us. Lord, we come to you today confessing that we are unlovable, we are unlovely, but you are full of love and that you loved us. You've shown us your love by sending forth your Son, our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I hug you as my Savior today, and I kiss your face, thanking you for claiming me as the beloved. Lord, work in our hearts today so that we might always have a clear confession of our identity. Work in us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.